The radio show for people who know the best part of the day is the night.
Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
I have in front of me a piece of paper. No, I have in my... What's the quote? I have in my hand a piece of paper. We're in the studios used by the TalkSport guys. And this is a live read for Hawksby and Jacobs. OK. Now, they are sponsored by... And I'm not going to give the name of the pizza manufacturer that is sponsoring them. But why the hell am I not sponsored by... how can I phrase this in a way that people won't know it is? Father Johan. Why am I not, Papa John? Why am I not sponsored by pizzas?
Well, it wouldn't be.
And what are pizzas doing sponsoring? I mean, it's a great gig. Sport.
Well, because when you're sitting watching sport or sitting listening to sport rather than playing it, you're probably feeling your face. We should be sponsored by Germaloids.
Is that hemorrhoid cream?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well. I use Anusol.
Anusol.
Hi, guys. Welcome to Friday Show 10 Best of Podcast with me, Ian Lee. I can do Matt Berry's voice. I can do Matt Berry's job. I'm as good as Matt Berry. Here's my voice. Here's my acting voice.
He releases albums. Did you know that?
No.
Prog rock albums.
Oh.
They get quite good reviews. There's someone coming in.
Yeah.
We've got to be quick. Here's the podcast.
Talk Radio. Talk and entertainment across the nation.
Talk Radio.
Give it some lip.
I got into you're never going to get believe who I got into an argument with on Twitter the other day, Gafford.
Well, seeing as you've been having an argument with the lead singer of The Wonder Stuff, I'm going to go with Mark King of Level 42.
No. An even bigger rock star than that. And when I tell you the answer, you'll think I'm joking, but this person has been sampled by Eminem.
I don't know. Go on, yeah, go on. You've got me.
Chaz from Chaz and Dave.
Blimey. Really?
Chaz Hodges, been sampled by Eminem, yes.
Wow.
And we got into an argument on Twitter. I say an argument. It was a friendly argument because I said the two best bass players in the world, Paul McCartney, obviously.
Fair enough.
And Quattro. McCartney and Quattro.
Now, is she a great bass player or a great lead vocalist?
She's both.
She can be both, can't she?
She's both. And she is easily the best looking person ever to wear a leather catsuit with the zip done down to her navel.
I would say John Entwistle was a better bass player.
No, you're wrong. John Entwistle was too fiddly. It was all... Sometimes there's a reason to just go... Let me find you some Who Live, right? And you listen to the ridiculousness that's going on.
Are you saying that he plays the bass like someone might play the bongos?
Yeah, he's bongoing the bass.
Oh, no, don't say bongo.
Why?
What?
Because that's apparently some sort of keyword.
Oh, no, have I set off some sort of an alarm?
Well, there's a rumour on Twitter that I've got a raunchy Snapchat and it gets activated by the word bongos.
Well, you've just activated it for me and you, then.
All right, I'll see you on there in about five.
On my iTunes, would the Who come under the or Who?
I reckon the.
No.
I say Who.
It turns out it's underneath this, so we're going to have to go to you. He's too busy on the bass. And I will never say Carol Kay again after the rude way she spoke to me via email.
What about Benson? George?
No.
Not Beds.
Because he used to riff the bass as well with his mouth.
No, well, that's just stupid. We play bass
with
you. Here we go. Here's The Who live at the Isle of Wight Festival, 1970, right? It's an hour long. I won't play all of it. I'm going to pick a minute between 0 and 1 hour and 2.
17
minutes. Here we go. It's The Who. Right. So for a start, Entwistle's wearing a skeleton outfit, either that or he's a skeleton. Listen to the bass. Oh, he's quite good there. Here we go. Right, he's quite good there. Yeah. I'm going to skip forward. Hang on. Here we go.
Shall I do another one?
That's right. We got it.
That's quite a simple bass line, that.
I'm going to go to The Who Live in 1975, OK, when he was really... Yep. Here we go. The Who Live, 1975. This is The Who Won't Get Fooled Again at the Pontiac Silverdrome, 1975. Now listen to this. Silverdrome. Here we go.
Dome.
There we go.
good.
Fair play, that'd do for me.
It's rubbish. He's rubbish. Yeah. Entwistle is rubbish. He's too busy. And Townsend hated it. Townsend hated his bass playing. But what are you going to... You're going to say, look, just stop, you know, just...
Is that why he smashed all those guitars?
That would be why. He was furious.
Yeah.
Furious.
Yeah,
anyway, so Chaz yep. says you're forgetting me. I used to be a bass player until Dave came along. And I went, well, neither of you guys look as good as Quattro in a leather catsuit with the zip done down to the navel. He went, you don't know that. And in all fairness to Mr. Hodges, I do not know that. I do not know what he looks like in a leather
suit. Should we just spare a moment to imagine that?
Okay, hang on.
Oh, yeah.
Bloody hell.
I've been understudied. Does that count? I've been understudied. When I was in the third year at school, now for those uneducated, I would have been about 14.
I don't understand the thing. I've only just worked this out. When they say now, oh, year two,
yeah.
So there's seven. Yeah. You add five.
Yeah, you add five.
You add five. Why don't they just... And I never understood, because I went to a grammar school. It wasn't posh. I just passed my 11 plus. They still had. They still got grammar schools in Berkshire. It wasn't posh at all. It was a dump. But the Sir William Herschel Grammar School. What did Sir William Herschel discover, Gatford?
Blue tack.
What did Sir William Herschel discover, Catherine?
Not a clue.
You should know. It was Uranus.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, Uranus.
Yeah, he discovered Uranus. Yeah.
Is that still a planet? Or has that gone the way of Pluto?
It was Pluto.
Pluto is a planet again now. Pluto is back to being a planet.
Is Uranus a star now, or is that...
It's a star of sorts, yes. It's a star of sorts. Don't say brown. Now...
No.
Don't. I'm still trying to work out exactly what the rules are here at Talk Radio, and I think...
There are some.
I think I've just discovered one, yes. I think I've just locked horns with a rule. But I went to grammar school, and we started off in the second year.
What?
There was no first year. I went to a middle school. We had a primary school, middle school, and then we went to grammar school, but we started in the second year.
Was that because you went to the middle school? Did the middle school bridge the junior to the secondary?
I kind of switched off halfway through what you were saying, which makes you think what we're saying is boring.
Shall I get to the point?
Get to the beef.
Yeah. I was, we did a version of Joseph and his Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Oh.
You had an understudy at school?
Yeah, because my voice dropped and I could no longer perform.
Which part were you, Benjamin?
I was the lead. I was Joseph.
Oh.
I was Joseph. I had the Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Wow.
And 2 days before the big performance, my voice went to Barry White levels.
Wowzers. And then what happened in between then and now? Because it's quite squeaky.
Well,
now. It's quite a squeaky voice.
Yeah.
Now.
So
who took the glory then, buddy?
Two first years.
Really? Two people to fill your role.
It took two people. No, no jokes. It took two because they did. There was two nights. I was supposed to do both nights, and they ended up doing one each.
Okay.
And I had to sit in the front row and watch them take my role.
What was the...
They managed to get my name out of the programme, so no glory whatsoever.
Wowzers. Well, you are... Hang on a second, because what we're going to do, Catford, is I can stay there, Dan. Yep. We're going to come to you in a bit. 0844 499 1000. This is unfair that you've had to endure that. So we're going to help you, mate. I've just spent £1.50.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. And the Wi-Fi's a little bit slow, but we're going to recreate... The Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. From what school was it, Gatford?
It was Hillcrest School.
Okay. We're going to recreate the Hillcrest performance of Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat the way it should have been done, with Gatford playing the part of Joseph. Hang on a minute, my computer...
Which song are we going for?
Well, we're going to go for the hits. Hang on a minute.
The hits, right.
There we go.
My clothes...
No,
Can
we do it?
Okay. Is this... Yeah. When do I come in?
Now.
I think you should... Right, start again. I think you should be in by now. Here we go. Here we go.
Is this I Close My Eyes?
Yes.
He doesn't even know what song it is, and he was the lead. Here we go.
I close my eyes.
If he's going to take the mickey out of it, then we can't...
No wonder he didn't get his part.
Yeah, exactly. That's a rubbish. Dan?
Hello.
You ready?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Hello.
And go.
I close my eyes, drew back the curtain,
whoa, whoa,
to see for certain,
whoa, whoa,
what I thought I knew. I wore my coat with golden lining,
whoa, whoa,
bright colors shining,
whoa, whoa,
wonderful and new. And in the east,
and in the east,
the dawn was breaking,
whoa, whoa,
the world was waking,
whoa, whoa,
wonderful and new.
Any dream will do.
Something like that, anyway.
Hey, mate, you're through to round two. You're through to boot camp. That was fantastic, Daniel.
Yeah.
Throwing out you.
Well,
okay. You're through
to
boot...
I'm a famous actor.
Okay. Boot camp round two. Close any door. Daniel?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the intro properly.
Okay, okay, I apologise. Here we go. The pretend posse love you.
You look like a pop star. You sound like a pop star. Daniel, you are a pop star.
Fans, 08444991000. The magic of Joseph. How the hell did you know all of the words, Dan?
Right, I'm going to say the first one, I did know it.
Yeah.
The second one, I cheated a bit.
Oh, yeah, go on, go on.
There's a lyric website, isn't there?
And you managed to find it that quickly?
Yeah.
That is initiative.
Lyrics.
He wants the part.
Because
go on.
When I was a child, at my school play, I was in the choir.
Oh, mate.
We can tell.
Yeah.
You've got training, you've got skills.
Well, you got people like Gatford calling in, right? Oh, it's not fair. Oh, my voice broke. Oh, I got hormones. Oh, I got testosterone running through my chest. All of that stuff, right? And yet, when the chance came, he was unable to deliver. Dan, you have got star quality all over you, buddy.
It's no excuse from him either, because I remember my balls dropped during a science lesson.
Oh, good
grief!
High pitched.
What were you studying? Gravity.
Lesson, yes, I was at Barry White levels.
Flip it. Seriously, during a lesson.
Pretty much, yeah.
It
was commented on that I was high pitched at the start of the lesson and significantly deeper at the end.
I don't remember. I don't think my voice has broken yet. I don't think it has.
So there's definitely a moment then, because obviously I don't have the...
No, there's lots of boys that talk like that.
But I don't have that point of reference. So is there? So you actually know the moment it happened, Dan?
All I can say is there was some noticeable change in my voice.
When did you... Guys, this is it. And I don't remember this. I honestly don't remember it. When did your voice break? 0844 499 1000. And if you are a teenager whose voice is doing that at the moment, give us a call. Because, honestly, come on and let's cherish that moment together. We won't take the mic. What's the point of taking the mic out of something that's just hormones?
It's a special time.
That's all it is.
You're only allowed to take the mic if it is... you are all of the same age. Then you must take the mic.
Well, exactly. Then of course you must have. And
otherwise,
right.
It's just cruelty.
It is.
Being cruel between yourselves, that's one thing.
Yeah.
Being cruel to, you know, I'm a 35-year-old man. If I went and insulted a 13-year-old boy now, I would go to prison.
Well, I
define insult.
I can think of examples when that would actually be okay.
Could you list them?
Probably not on the air.
Late night conversation worth losing sleep over. Ian Lee.
On air and off the leash.
On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
08444991000. Rosie's on the line. Yes, Rosie.
Hi, Ian. I thought I might go back to Joseph again.
I'm going this. It's a Joseph-themed show this evening.
Well, yeah. I mean, I put Joseph on with my school when I was teaching.
Yeah.
Yeah, just still got some kids from that play on my Facebook, and they still remember being in it, and it was really, really great to do it.
It's a bit of it's a bit of a rubbish musical, though, isn't it? I don't like all that stuff when is it the Pharaoh that's supposed to be Elvis?
Yeah.
That's all a bit silly, that bit.
Yeah, well, I mean, the whole thing is themed, isn't it? Like, that's kind of an Elvis theme.
They did
the
that.
French theme, isn't there? And those Canaan days, and they're all wearing berets and onions around their neck.
Oh, I don't remember that bit. I know I like the what was the song? What's the song?
I don't know which one you're talking about.
Well, the song. What's the song? What's the song?
Which song?
The song from Joseph.
Go, 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 Joseph?
No. But the song from Joseph.
Well, there's loads.
Yeah, but what's the song?
Jacob and Sons?
No. Now you're just trying to be obtuse. What's the song?
What? I Close My Eyes.
That's the one. Yeah. That's a good one.
Any dream will do.
That's it. That's it. So I like Jason Donovan singing that. Philip Schofield, of course, was in Joseph.
Both of them.
Did you?
Yeah, but I like Mike Holloway the best.
Oh, flipping it. I've literally no idea who that is.
Flintlock.
What?
Have you heard of Flintlock and Tomorrow People?
No, because I think you're making these things up, Rosie.
Flintlock was a not very well-known band, but the Tomorrow People was a big series.
Oh, there was the television series, yes.
Yeah.
What's Flintlock
got? He was in that.
You're literally rambling. You know, is there someone there that can help you, Rosie? You sound like you're delirious. You sound like how I feel.
I probably feel that way then.
Yeah,
well I've just come out in the kitchen and found my husband hasn't done the washing up.
What an absolute arse.
And he's listening to this in the lab.
I don't like musicals. The only musical I really like is Hair. I will go and see Hair every time it's on.
Oh,
I love it. And not just because you get to see their genitals. I think Hair is absolute. I've got about six different versions of the Hair soundtrack. I became vaguely obsessed with it. I even like the film of Hair, which is awful. The film is terrible. But I like that.
Has that got a song about Aquarius in it?
Yes!
Oh, right. The Simpsons took it off, didn't they? I've seen it on The Simpsons.
The Simpsons? Is The Simpsons the thing about The Simpsons, right? Why is that still going?
He doesn't like Les Mis, Ken.
What's going on? Don't like Les Mis.
He's saying, say Les Mis.
Oh, Les Mis
is... like Les Mis, do you?
Les Mis is awful. Here we go.
No, it's not.
Okay, here's 5 points. Which version of Hair is this from? Is it from the original 1967 Broadway version? Is it from the British 1968 version? Is it from the 1981 movie version? Or is it from the 1996 West End version starring Sinita and John Barrowman? Which version is this from? Which version?
Doesn't sound live.
Well, but none of them are live recordings. Recorded in the studio.
I reckon the second one.
You reckon from the 1968 British West End version?
Yeah.
Hang on a second, here we go. That's quite a heavy slap bass that's going on there. Was slap bass around in the 60s? I don't think so. You're incorrect, of course. It's the 1981 awful, almost unwatchable, but yet it's got the best soundtrack movie version of Hair. When the moon is in they went a bit funky in the film version. I like the film album, although the film itself is a stinker, but with the Mars and peace will guide the planet. And love will steer the stars. This is the dawning of the age of Aquarius. It's the best one. It's the best version.
Well, I heard that one. Yeah, that was on The Simpsons.
But do you know what? It's even got song titles I can't read out. I can't read out some of the song titles.
Well, give me, like, a clue.
OK, one of the ones I can't read out is Sodomy. I can't read that out.
And there are some that are even worse than that that I can't read out.
Oh, well, I was going to see this film.
Oh, don't see the film. No, it comes around about every 3 or 4 years. They'll do a version in the West End. And honestly, Hair is just the best. It's such a good show. I love it.
I told you the sort of thing that a youth group could do.
No. How old is this youth group?
Oh, 14 up.
No, because they all take their clothes off in it.
Oh, right, okay.
I've told you this story before about I took my mum to see it, right? You know, she's in a wheelchair, and you get really good seats, right?
That's kind of seats
sort of in the first the first row of the balcony, right? And she's right by the edge, and I'm her carer, and I'm sat next to her, but she's right by the aisle. And before the interval, what are they singing? What are they singing when they strip all their clothes off? I can't remember. It might be. Let's assume that they're singing. They're singing "Let the Sunshine In," right? So they're singing "Let the Sunshine In," and they strip all their clothes off, right? And then they start walking through the audience. And what? Then there's a fella, and he climbs up the balcony, naked, right? This hippie fella, and he climbs over the balcony, and he stands next to my mum. And there's like a sort of, like a banister next to her, right? He stands up, he puts his foot on the banister, and his foot's on the banister, and his ding-dong is about an inch away from my mum's face. And I said to him, mate, she's not seen one of them for years, you want to move, she's going to be on that.
Talk Radio. Talk and entertainment across the nation.
Talk Radio.
Give it some lift.
It's Ronnie Spector. What an actual thrill. I love you, Ronnie.
Oh, thank you. I love you too.
May God bless you.
Even though I haven't met you yet.
I've been very close to you. That sounds really stalkerish. Let me put it in context. Because that's a weird way to open a conversation. About 7 or 8 years ago, I was in New York. Over Christmas, mm-hmm. and I was kind of looking for things to do, and I saw you were doing one of your now legendary Christmas concerts at B.B. King's.
Yes.
And I came down and saw it, and I got there really early. I was sat at the front, and it was amazing, Ronnie. You're incredible.
Oh, thank you, Ian. You've made my whole weekend.
Well, that's very kind of you to say so, madam. Listen, I've got this new album in front of me, English Heart, and I was listening to it today. Now, without being rude, you're a little bit older than 25. And
yes,
just a little bit. You've still got that voice. How have you still got that voice?
I don't know. I don't know if it's a gift or it's just how I sing, you know? I don't know.
You've got a very naughty laugh. Do you do like exercises and warm-ups and things, or do you just kind of open your mouth and out it comes?
Sometimes this is the truth, Ian, you have it or you don't. You can go to all the rehearsals you want, you can take all the vocal lessons you want, but if you don't have a certain voice, it's all in the voice.
Yeah. And you've got it. You've still got it. This is a great album. It's kind of it's all British songs. Have I got that right? From kind of about 64, 65, 66, mid-60s.
Yes.
How did you choose them? Did you choose them, or did you walk in and your producer said, "Right, Ronnie, this is what you're singing."
No. That was in the '60s, Ian.
Yes.
Now I can pick my own stuff.
Oh.
What I had to do though, because it was so many great songs from England, and they came over to, that came, you know, transported over to America.
Yeah.
I had to really think. So I took about 70 songs from England.
Wow.
And I just narrowed them down. No, that doesn't fit my voice. No, I wouldn't say that. You know, so I had to just dwindle them down till I got to the 11 I chose.
You've chosen some interesting ones. I mean, you've chosen the Kinks song. I love the Kinks. But Tired of Waiting, and it's a cracking version of it. That's an unusual one to choose. Why did you go for that one?
I love the fact that you can say, "I'm so tired of waiting." A girl could be tired of waiting for the guy to propose to her.
Yeah.
You know, you could be waiting for a taxi, but you're so tired, you know, tired of waiting. You can be and I picked all of those songs exactly how I just explained them to you.
Yeah.
You know, what am I this and what am I that? And all the songs, even, you know, I'd much rather be with the girls is the only original song on the whole album. And that's because the Stones traveled with us when we were, they were our opening act, the Ronettes, in the 60s. So, and the girl groups are popping in the 60s, you know.
Hang on a second. Did you just say the Rolling Stones were your warm-up act?
Yes.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, come on. It doesn't get much cooler than that.
I know, right?
Having Jagger open for you. Because when did you first come to the UK?
1964.
Perhaps the swingingest
January,
of years.
January.
Huh? Cold. Nice and cold then.
Oh, I loved it, though. God, I love the UK. Oh,
what did, the weather. It was a novelty, I'd imagine, in the UK at that time, for a girl group from the States to come over. How were you treated?
We were treated so, you know, I loved it so much because they treated us with respect. They treated us like we were stars. I mean, we had that in America, too, but over in England, they were making your outfits for TV shows. You didn't have that. We didn't have that in the States. You know what I mean? It was like, that's when I knew I was a star, is when I first went to the UK. And the Beatles came to our record company party.
Wow.
And the Rolling Stones were our opening act. So that's another reason I did the album, because I was right there in the middle of all that crazy invasion stuff I loved. We had the best times on the road with the Stones and the Beatles coming to our party, then taking us out and showing me Carnaby Street. And it was just so much fun back then and innocent. And nobody was trying. All we loved was the music.
Yeah.
You know, all of us groups, we loved the music to keep going with our careers. And, you know, and that's what we all did. It. You know, I kind of stopped for a while. But most of them, I mean, the Beatles hadn't even been to America yet when we knew.
I suppose not. No, yeah, January 64, they hadn't, had they?
No, they came in late February.
Yeah.
But we were there in the beginning of January. That's how we got in the Rolling Stones, of course, was the opening act. Then the Kinks would be on and off the tour, Eric Clapton and the Yardbirds.
It's so cool.
I mean, we were in the middle of all of that great craziness. You know, the times were innocent. You know, the most you smoked was cigarettes, you know.
Yeah, I mean, well, yeah. That changed. That changed for everyone.
Yeah, right. But we weren't in that scene. By then, I was completely out of the business, if you will.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, I put all these songs in my act. I love, like, the Dave Clark 5, Because. You know, the record I do on the album, Because.
Yeah, yeah.
I loved it, you know, and I toured with Dave Clark 5, you know, in the 60s, over here in America.
It's just, do you know what, listening to you, because I was born in kind of the early 70s, so I missed all of this. So all I've got really to connect with the 60s, and I love 60s music, Beach Boys and the Monkees and the Beatles and you know, the Ronettes, all of that stuff, I love it. But all I've got is the records and, you know, the black and white film. So there's something that's not quite real about it to me, but hearing you describe, you know, having the Stones open for you, having the Beatles come to your party, having, you had screaming fans when you came here, didn't you?
Yes, as a matter of fact, the first time, not in America, overseas, when we got off at Heathrow Airport, there were kids at the airport.
Wow.
And we've never had that. And that's when I said, you know what, we are stars now. I didn't, you know, over here we were stars, but when we got to the UK with the respect, the kids at the airport, which we'd never seen,
yeah,
the girls, we have arrived. And that was in the UK.
This record is a cracking record, and I'm not just saying it to suck up to you. I've been listening to it today, and it really is a treat, okay? I think it's a really nice arrangements. It's kind of timeless arrangements. You know, they're updates from the 60s, but it's not all like synthesizers and computers and auto-tune and stuff, you know?
Exactly.
And that's
what I want. Yeah, that's what I wanted.
I
wanted that, Paul. Are you Ian?
I'm Ian. Don't worry. I don't know who Paul is. You must be thinking about McCartney again. He's not here, unfortunately. All right, I'm going to ask you. What was Paul McCartney like? Was he nice?
Oh, let me tell you something.
Go on.
All those guys were sweethearts.
Oh, man.
And I'm not just saying that because I toured with them. I was actually friends with them backstage. I was the first. They didn't know anybody when they got to America. And I remember John Lennon calling us up and saying, Rooney, we're prisoners here at the Plaza. We, you know, come over and you know, keep us company. And they were. They were prisoners.
Yeah.
They couldn't walk out of their hotel room. And what I did, I took them to Spanish Harlem, and we sneaked out of the hotel, and they were up there, and we had barbecue and spare ribs and chicken. Oh. Nobody even noticed them because they thought they were just a bunch of Spanish dorks in the neighborhood. So they love that because nobody came over for their autograph. They were so big. But up in Spanish Harlem, no one bothered them. They listened to the jukebox. They ate. Yeah. And people were just eating their food, too. They weren't paying them any attention, and they'd love that.
You're coming over in May over here. What?
Yes,
why do you
yes.
still do it, Ronnie? Because I'd imagine, you know, I'm not saying you're, you know, I don't know what your financial status is, but I'd imagine you're, you know, you're comfortable enough. You don't have to do this. Why are you doing a CD? Why are you doing a tour still?
Because I love it.
Really?
I love it so much, you know, and I am comfortable financially, but that doesn't. What do you do after you have finance? Just sit back?
Yeah, sit back and
in a rocking chair.
Put your feet up. Watch the telly and read a good book.
I love what I do. That's the most important thing.
Yeah.
When you have money and stuff, you do it for the love of it. I love it. I have a passion for singing that nobody has. Maybe that's why I sing like I do on the record still.
Well, this
because
is
I have a passion and a love for it.
I could tell.
And I have a love for the people that watch me.
I could tell that. When I came and saw that Christmas show, honestly, it was such a treat. It made our trip to New York. The highlight was you coming out in a sexy Santa outfit, if I'm completely honest. But you
but you
love it.
You can
tell, you know, you could tell that you love performing and you had that audience in the palm of your hand.
And I do. I have to agree with you.
Yeah.
And I don't know how I do that. And I don't know. I've been doing the Christmas show for, maybe 15 and more than that years.
Yeah.
And each time it's more people and more people. And I don't even have a hit record. You know, and I'm playing theaters now in America and over in the UK. When I was with the Ronettes, we just went back. We played clubs over here. And then the Beatles made that stadium thing, you know. That groups can do today.
Did you think?
Stadiums.
Did
Beatles
you think?
That.
Over 50 years later, from your first single, over 50 mm-hmm. years, blimey, that you'd still be doing it. You'd still be playing, you know, concerts, sold out concerts, still be making records.
Oh yeah, I would. I've never given up on myself with recording and performing.
Yeah,
that's what I love since I was like 5 years old. Going to my grandmother's on Sunday. Everybody's waiting for little Ronnie to stand up on the coffee table and entertain them. So I've been doing it all my life. You know, so if you have money, what does that have to do with what you love?
Yeah.
You know, it just hasn't. It's two separate things.
Ronnie, listen, honestly, it's such a thrill to talk to you. I'm going to try and come and see you when you're over in the Shepherd's Bush Empire over here.
I wish you would.
I'm coming, man. Seriously, you can't keep me away. The album.
I hope you do, Ian.
I'm coming. This isn't some. Listen, we on my show. We only get people on that I really, really love, and I really, really love you. So I'm coming.
Oh, but now you've made my whole day.
The album is English Heart. The whole thing is a treat for me. The two songs that really stand out are the "I'll Follow the Sun," the Beatles song, mm-hmm. and "Girl Don't Come." Was that Sandy Shaw that did "Girl Don't Come"? I can't remember.
Yes, it was Sandy Shaw.
But the whole thing is a treat, Ronnie. I wish you the very best of luck with it.
Oh, Ian, thank you, and I hope to see you there. I know I will.
I'm going to come and say hello. It's been such a thrill talking to you. Thank you so much.
Okay, cheers, love.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Late Night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Like 2 minutes.
30 seconds, because, guys, that was the Best Of podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. You heard a door shut there. That was someone from Talk Sport who's going to go around and swear about us in the office. Okay, thanks very much indeed. Well, I hope you enjoyed it. It's week two, and boy, oh boy, it really has been a roller coaster of a ride. I've had a great time. Thanks very much for downloading the podcast. I hope you can enjoy continuing listening to us Mondays to Fridays.
And with that, he was gone. And now he's coming in here. Right, okay.
Stop milking it.
What? Okay. Bye, thank you.
Late Night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.